In 3 John 1 verse 2, God says He wants us to prosper and enjoy good health even as our soul prospers.
That is why we have health news to share with you this morning.
Plus, we have lots in store to help your soul prosper as well as you trust in Jesus.
Join us. Good morning and welcome to another episode of Wake Up With Hope. Today is Abraham Lincoln's birthday. And what a legacy he left behind as he inspired others to press towards peace.
And you know, last month we celebrated the start of a new year, 2024. And many of us made New Year's resolutions as we entered the new year. How are you doing with those, my friends? We want to encourage you to press on. This year could be the happiest year of your life. We can do more good than the past year, and we can be a blessing to others as we devote ourselves to God.
Yes, indeed. You know, one of my resolutions was to drink water. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing that consistently so far.
I am very proud
of you. Lots
of
water.
Yes, you have.
64 ounces at least.
That's awesome. You are hydrated, not dehydrated.
That's right. That's right. So we're here to help and encourage you and to seek to find hope so that you can find encouragement in Jesus. And this morning we have uplifting music, we have a devotional thought, and even a healthy recipe. But first, let's take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On February 12, 1909, on the 100th anniversary of Abraham Lincoln's birth, a coalition comprising African-American leaders like W.E.B. Du Bois and Ida B. Wells Barnett revealed the establishment of a groundbreaking organization named the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, or the NAACP. This initiative would significantly impact the fight for civil rights and shape the trajectory of 20th century American history. The formation of the NAACP serves as a poignant reminder of God's timing and providence amid historical challenges and the struggle for civil rights. God orchestrated the coming together of visionary leaders to establish an organization that would advocate for justice and equality.
You know, this event reflects the biblical truth that God uses individuals and movements to bring about positive change. It encourages us to trust in God's sovereignty, knowing that He can raise leaders and initiatives to address societal injustices. And so as we navigate through our own challenges, we can find strength in the belief that God is actively working through His people to bring about His purpose and to advance the cause of justice and love in this world.
Amen. Well, today it is cold outside, but we've got just the thing that will warm up your heart. Peach muffins.
Yes.
That sounds so yummy.
That will warm up my heart.
Yes. Well, Gia, Olive,
and my stomach.
Gia, Olive, and Moses are here in the kitchen this morning to show us how to create these delicious, healthy, and kid-friendly delights in your own home.
Hi! So we are making an awesome lunchbox idea. They're called healthy peach muffins, okay? So we're going to use, Moses is going to help me, half a cup of walnuts chopped up. And you're helping me too. Half a cup of walnuts. Can you put them in there? Awesome. Just chopped up walnuts. 3.5 cups of oats, just rolled oats. Thank you, Momo. Thank you.
Let's put it in there.
Now, this is what's going to bind it, because there's no eggs in this. There's no dairy. And you can actually, if you've got gluten intolerances, you can get like gluten-free, not gluten-free, but free of gluten oats, if you like. Now, this is what's going to really bind it together. Bananas. So there's 6 bananas. And Olive's really done a good job mashing it, haven't you? Okay, let's go. Yum, delicious. This is going to be so tasty. And 1 teaspoon of baking powder and 1 teaspoon of baking powder and soda.
Can I do it?
Yes, but you have to put on the dry bit because Mummy forgot to put it in just before, because it's better to mix it through the dry ingredients first and then put the wet ingredients in. Now, I'm going to mix that. Yeah, you can help me. Can you grab another? Here. Can you use a spoon to help me mix it? Mix, 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 mix. Oh, you can lick that. Go ahead. Tell me if it's delicious. Is it? So now, at the end, I'm actually going to fold through the peaches. They're just, you can get them in a can or in one of those containers. They're already chopped, actually. I just got chopped peaches like the. And we've got the vanilla. Ooh, vanilla essence. You don't have to put vanilla essence in that, but it does give it a little nice flavour. Okay, that's it. So we squash it through. No, don't squash it through. Just fold it through. And then we put it in our little pan here that I've already greased, our little muffin pans. So now I'm going to just use this.
You just put some on me.
Did I? Accidentally? Mm-hmm. Okay. It should make about 12.
Thanks.
And then we're going to put it in the oven and we are going to put it on setting 180. We're going to bake it for about 30 to 35 minutes. Just keep an eye on it, so if it starts going brown, that's probably when it's ready. I've actually made cookies similar to this, which is like 3 or 4 ingredients. And if you go to mumsatthetable.com, you'll see on our website, you'll go into our recipe page and you'll be able to find them there. Now I'm going to put this in the oven and we're going to be back to see what it looks like.
Yeah.
So we got our healthy peach muffins out of the oven. So just put your oven to a lower setting if you think, or maybe turn off the fan force, but they still smell delicious and look how awesome they look coming out. These are going to be awesome for the kids. I'm going to try some because I don't know. They're really good. So try them at home.
It's now time for health news with Dr. Nerida McKibben from Go Healthy for Good as she shares with us.
In the headlines today, meat intake and coronary artery disease, diet and depression, and music cancels mental fatigue. Reviews in Food Science and Nutrition has published a meta-analysis on the impact of red meat consumption on heart disease rates. The research has included data from studies involving 1.4 million people who were followed for 30 years. They found that the more red meat that's regularly consumed, the higher the risk of coronary heart disease, which is the blockage of the arteries supplying the heart muscle. For every extra 50 grams or 1.7 ounces of red meat eaten, the risk of heart disease rises 9%. The same amount of processed meat makes it rise by 18%. And then consider that many people eat 2 or 3 times that amount each day, and you can see why coronary heart disease is one of our top 3 killers. The incidence of depression and anxiety are on the rise rapidly around the world, affecting people earlier in life, making prevention and treatment of depression a public health imperative. The International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health reports a link between diet and depression. Researchers reviewed the results of 22 articles reporting on the impact of various diets on rates of depression. They came to 3 conclusions. Firstly, there is strong evidence, they say, that people should be advised to consume a Mediterranean-style diet with more fruit, fish, nuts, legumes, and olive oil, and less processed foods, juices, soft drinks, and sweets. Secondly, there's moderate strength evidence that micronutrients like magnesium, folic acid, and B vitamins are important for reducing depression. And finally, there's strong evidence that public health officials should use their resources to help people maintain a healthy diet and prevent depression. Now, do you like to listen to music while you exercise? And do you find it boosts your motivation? Well, you're not alone, and here's why. A new study by the Human Performance Science Research Group at the University of Edinburgh in the UK examined the impact of music on mental fatigue. Mental fatigue is caused by concentrating for long periods of time, and it can negatively impact not only our cognition, but also our physical performance. And this is especially true when we want to exercise for longer. But there's good news. The study shows that listening to music when we're mentally fatigued can return long distance running capacity and performance back to normal. So next time you exercise while mentally fatigued, listen to music to boost your performance, though not if you're near a road and you need your hearing to stay safe. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's health news.
Resonance is back with music this morning as they remind us of God's greatness. They sing, "How Great Thou Art."
Soul, my Savior, God, to Thee.
If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And search for us on YouTube to check out our YouTube channel there and keep up with us as well.
When we return, we will have a devotional thought from our friends at Voice of Prophecy.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for staying with us. It's time for our devotional thought now. Today it will be brought to us by our friends at Voice of Prophecy.
When I was a kid, my mom would say, if it's yes, then yes, and if no, then no. This was part of her motherly counsel to train me up to always tell the truth. Well, it wasn't until later in life that I realized she was quoting scripture. In James 5:12, we read, "But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment." My daughter and I were reviewing this verse the other day when I asked her what it meant. She answered, "Well, the first thing that comes to mind is the Ten Commandments." We proceeded to turn to Exodus 20, verse 7, where she read, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." She then explained that for her, both James 5:12 and Exodus 20, verse 7 refer to guarding the tongue. She mentioned that we often do not think about what we say and how we say it, and that God would have us keep a clean mouth, not speaking filthy words or saying ugly things. Her youthful understanding of the passage is really spot on. In fact, the Bible has a lot to say about the tongue and speaking idle words. Take James 3:8 through 10, for example. "But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so." That's a sobering thought, isn't it? Then there is David, who in Psalms 64:3 says, "Who sharpen their tongue like a sword, and bend their bows to shoot their arrows." Bitter words. How many bitter words have we spoken throughout our lifetime? How much damage have we done simply with what we say? I remember the old saying I was taught in grade school, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Unfortunately, I think the opposite is true. Far more damage has been done by the uncontrolled mouth than by sticks and stones. What a far better place to live would this world be if we focused on lifting each other up instead of tearing each other down. I'm reminded of the story of the unforgiving servant in Matthew 18. In this parable, the king is settling accounts with his servants when he finds one that owes 10,000 talents but is unable to pay. He commands that he be sold, including his entire family and all of his belongings, in order to pay the debt. The servant bowed and begged for mercy, and out of compassion, the king forgave the debt. Jesus continued the story in verse 28. "But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him." Here's the thing. We are that servant that owes the Lord more than we could ever repay. Yet God is willing to forgive us our debt. Every day we find ourselves in front of the King of Kings with nothing to offer, and he is gracious. 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a simple process, really. We give him our sin, he forgives us, then tells us to go and sin no more. Then he puts his spirit in us to help us overcome future temptations. But the point that I want to make is that we are no better than anyone else. Each one of us on planet Earth are in the same boat. We are sinners in need of a Savior. And as such, we have been extended an incredible amount of grace. And that same grace we are to extend to others. When we tear others down with our words and actions, we forget that we deserve the same treatment from God. Our rebellion and crooked hearts deserve nothing more than death. And for the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But instead of giving us what we deserve, God has adopted us into His family. And more than that, the Bible tells us that we are princes and princesses, and that one day the overcomers, those who allow Christ into their lives and fully give themselves to His leading, He will allow to sit on the throne. That's right, we will be rulers with Jesus. What is the value of our fellow men and women? How do we see them? God sees them as His sons and daughters. And if we also are sons and daughters, then our neighbor is actually part of our family. When Jesus was asked to state the greatest commandment, He said to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. But then He added, the second is like unto the first, love your neighbor as yourself. These are the two greatest commandments, love God and love man. But let me go back to our original verse for a moment, James 5:12. James advises that we not swear by anything in heaven or on earth, and that our yeses be yeses and our noes be noes. And if we do not live our lives around this principle, we would endanger our lives in the judgment. Like my daughter, I too read in these verses the need to treat each other with respect, the respect that God has granted each of us. But I also see the call to be a man and woman of your word. This is something that, as a father, I've tried to instill into my kids. My son would tell you that we've had a million conversations on this. I tell him, only agree to what you can do and are going to do. Or I'll say, if you tell me you're going to do it, in my mind, it's as good as done. I'm not going to question you. I won't hound you on it. I expect that it will be done as I've asked and you have agreed. Because when you give me your word, it's your word. Here's what I love about James 5:12. God not only calls us to treat each other with dignity, the way that we would want to be treated and how He treats us, but there is also a promise. In telling us to be men and women of integrity, meaning we do what we say, He has put us on notice that this is what He is like. This means that we can count on two things from Him. Number one, His incredible grace and forgiveness and the knowledge that His words and actions will be gentle and pure. And number two, that His promises are true. So take courage this morning, knowing that you have a loving God who will do as He has promised. Let me pray with you. Father in heaven, I want to thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. I want to thank you for your courage and your love and how you pursue us, because that's what you are. You are a pursuing God. And even though, Father, we run away sometimes, or we turn away, and sometimes we even push you away, you are always there coming after us, seeking a relationship with us. Lord, I pray that you will instill in us your heart, that we will have your compassion for others, and that we will see all of the people that we come in contact with, not as strangers, but as brothers and sisters in Christ. Bless us today is our prayer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, I'm thankful to start this week with you, our Hope Channel family, once again. And we at the Voice of Prophecy pray that you wake up with hope each and every day. Until next time, God bless.
Amen. Thank you for those words of hope.
And friends, thank you so much for being with us here today and watching Wake Up With Hope. If you'd like to learn more about us or share with a friend, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we invite you to join us tomorrow morning. Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 will be with us to share a morning devotional thought. We will have a dedicated prayer session and a musical reminder of God's love. So be sure to tune in. And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Our free Bible study guides have helped many people connect with Jesus. So be sure to get yours today. Again, that's hope.study. You know, what a blessing today's program has been. And we hope you've been blessed as well. But before we go, we have a Bible promise for you. It's found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7.
It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus."
You know, it's a perfect promise to remember as we continue into this new year. You know, no matter what situation or circumstance you find yourselves in, God promises to give us peace as we give our burden to Him and thank Him for what He can and will do on your behalf. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you, thank you, thank you for that precious promise. Thank you, Lord, that we can take it to heart and believe and know that you're a God who pays close attention to our every step. You know what we need the most. And we pray, Lord, that as we trust you, that you would fulfill your will in our life, knowing that all things work together for good. So we thank you for hope that we have in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.